Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. We made it in spite of this year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As I was getting ready in the office this morning to come out, I sit down and I began to write some things. And this is the word I have for you today. And then we'll get into the message. And God wants you to know, this is what he was saying. He said, am I not God of more than enough? Yes, I am the I am. What do you dare to believe me for in this season? Have I not met you where you are at, and with my strong right arm delivered you and brought you forth? Rejoice, my people, for this is your time to shine forth my glory in the earth. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. With words of wisdom will you speak forth the oracles of God, of your God, and declare to this generation my saving power. Do not stand by silently. Let your voice ring forth my praises. Give to me your worship, and in your worship you will be strengthened. Let yesterday go. You have today. You have the now time. Now occupy the now. Must I remind you that no time is lost? I am and I will redeem the time for you. Step into this time with great expectation, and I am faithful to all my promises concerning you and yours. This is your time, says the Lord, for I am the God of great grace. Hallelujah. You receive that word today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. It's not over, church. It's not over. Well, when Pastor called me last night and asked me to minister, I had three or four things going through my head. And I began to think about something that I had been going through. So I figured if I'm going to go through it, you might as well go through it too. So, amen. So we'll just all go through it together. And that's, we're going to talk about weary today. Did anybody come in? Now, you know, some people say, well, I don't worry, I'm just concerned. Now, if you are concerned and it's keeping you up at night, and you're doing things irrational because of that which you are concerned about, and if you are wringing your hands and acting like the world is acting, then you worry. So how many come in with worry this morning, thinking about something? Well, now some of you don't want to admit it because you say, well, I'm just concerned, Pastor Cheryl. I'm not wearied, you know. Hallelujah. Well, the first step to help is admitting it. So that's okay. If you don't want to raise your hand, that's all right. God's faithful. So today we're going to be talking about wearying, about being anxious, and get some help in that area because God doesn't want you to be anxious and to worry about things. He wants us to roll it off on him. Philippians says in the King James Version 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God, be made known unto God. Another translation says, do not be anxious. Some translation says, do not worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, the word careful there in the King James Version means anxious. It means weary. It means divided. That's the Greek word for careful there in the King James Versions. And some translations use that word weary and anxious. You'll find other words in the word like care, anxiety, burden, trouble, or fear. All of those come back to weary. And this is where the ouch part comes in. Because weary is rooted in the spirit of doubt. Because if, you know, it's not that we don't have enough faith. Somewhere within us, we just lack that believing that God can do what he says he'll do. So we're out here trying to get more faith by praying more, and the word builds up your faith, yes, and all that. But the root cause of weary is just doubt. I'm just really not believing that God is faithful to do what he said he would do. So what is worry? Worry comes from an old English word also that means to strangle. It's used to refer to the practice of wolves killing sheep by biting them around the neck until they die. And that's what worry and being anxious does in our life. It literally chokes the very life of God out of us. It gets us to the place where we feel smothered. We feel caged in. That's what worry and being anxious does. So if you've been saved long enough, you know that your salvation doesn't guarantee you a trouble-free life. Amen. If you've been around long enough to know that there are things that come along in our life that's contrary to the Word of God. But when we look into the Word, we don't find where the Bible ever attempts to downplay the existence of problems. Matter of fact, we know this is our roadmap, and there's people in here that went through some stuff. They had to believe the promises of God just like we have to believe the promises of God, without doubt, amen? So as long as we live on this earth, we're going to encounter problems that have reports that things happen to us, and the opportunity is always going to be there for us to worry. Because if it wasn't, the Bible would not tell us, do not worry. Do not worry. So the stresses of life can never be handled in the way that God wants it to be handled by being anxious about them or trying to worry them away. You heard people pray worried prayers. They stay up all night and pray. It's not because they are, believing God. It's because they're worried. So I figured God, the Word says God neither sleeps or slumbers, so there's no reason for both of us to stay up. So I'm going to go to bed, cover my head up, and say, that's it, you got it. Amen. So just go ahead and go to bed and get you some rest. Things always look better in the morning anyway. Amen. So in Matthew 6:25, I'm going to read a lengthy scriptures here about the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus begins to talk to his disciples about worrying and about being anxious about life. It says, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy. He didn't say if you want to or think about it. He said, stop it. Stop being uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not life greater in quality than food? And the body far more and above excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, keeps feeding them. Are you not much more worthy than they? And who of you, by wearing and being anxious, can add one unit of measure or cubit to his stature or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his magnificent, excellent dignity and grace was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which day is alive, green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore don't worry and be anxious, saying, what are you going to have to eat, or what are you going to have to drink, or what are you going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, the unbelieving, wish for, crave, and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them. But seek, aim at, and strive for, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all of these things will be given you besides. So don't worry, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. The word weary in this particular passage of Scripture carries the idea of being divided or distracted. So when we choose to weary, because it tells us not to, so when we choose to weary and get anxious about things, it's a choice. Remember, we said Philippians says, do not weary. So when we choose to worry, it divides or it distracts away from the things of God. And it shifts our attention and direction onto that which we are worrying about. And that which we focus on becomes the greatest thing in our life. So that's why we begin to feel overwhelmed. And when we start worrying, we get anxious and uptight and uneasy. It's because you are being divided. You are being distracted. And it takes you away, shifts your focus onto that problem and onto that situation that you can't control anyway. So it's another direction, that which we worry about becomes our focus. It gets our attention. And, you know, we begin to say, Lord, if you'll just take this worrying away, this anxiety away, I would be fine. When he says, listen, you just need to lay it down and let it go. And that's so hard for us because our human nature wants to be in control. We want to change people. We want to change situations and circumstances. God is more interested. It took me a long time to figure this out. He is more interested in a fix-it approach for anxiety and worry or whatever else in our life. He's more interested than just putting a Band-Aid on a situation. Because if you don't deal with the root of why you are being anxious and why you are worrying about it, guess what? It's going to come back up. And sooner or later, he wants you to deal with the root, which, like I said before, is doubt. So it's not a fix-it mentality that God is after for us. It's a shift mentality. Start thinking in line with what you know the Word has to say. And just say, Lord, I can't change the situation. People, even our kids, when they get so old and we've taught them the Word, you know, we can't control their lives. We can't make them serve God. All we can say as far as me and my house is, we're going to serve the Lord. I know that seed's been planted, and sooner or later it's going to come to fruition. I just give them to you. You just do what you need to do with them. Amen? So God's promise is that when we do shift this anxiety and this worry onto him in prayer, it says the very peace of God. And that's how you know when you've shifted that thinking mentality. Is there a peace that comes over you? It's just that the situation may not have changed. It still may be crazy, but you know that, and it's a relief. And one thing I'd been going through in the last couple of months, I noticed I was getting depressed, and I knew what I was depressed about. And God said, Shirley, you can't change that situation, but you can just do what you know to do. Amen. And it's like, whew, okay, I lost 10 pounds. Hallelujah. That's how you feel when you begin to change that shift of your thinking, that mentality that says, God is in control, I'm not. And he's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. And in Matthew chapter 6 that we just read, there are five reasons that I want to give you real quickly why you don't need to worry. Five reasons why you should not worry. It says, number one, it keeps us from enjoying what we already have. Remember what I said a while ago about worrying distracts you and it causes you to be divided? Matthew 6:25 says, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, drink, about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? We live in a society where we are encouraged to worry and to be anxious. And we are because of the commercials we see on TV and the things that we hear, because they're already always telling us there's something better. There's a better product. There is a better solution. So as humans, we're always trying to grasp for that better thing. So we're constantly bombarded with advertisements, always showing us something that we don't have. Paul says, be content with what you have. And it doesn't mean that you don't desire more, but until you are content with what you have, then no matter what you get, you're not going to be content. And it becomes a roller coaster. So therefore, you become anxious thinking, well, I don't have enough because they say this is a better brand, a better thing. You know, look at all the breakfast cereals they got. Don't eat this one, don't eat that one. You need this one, you need that one. And pretty soon you're going, ooh. But he don't want you to be that way. He doesn't want you to be all anxious and listen to all this stuff that's going on. So we don't have this or we don't have that and all that. Number two, we shouldn't worry because it makes us forget our worth. When we begin to worry, we begin to doubt the love of God. We begin to say, okay, if God really loved me, this shouldn't be happening. And if this wasn't happening, then I wouldn't have to worry. Amen. So Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. But it says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? I remember reading one time that there was over 8,000 species of birds. And yet the Bible tells us that God knows every one of them. He knows the name of every one of them. And I love birds. But I found out that God did not send Jesus to die for not one single bird. As beautiful as they are. So if God takes care of something that he did not give his only begotten son for, if he takes care of those, why would he not value you and take care of you and all that concerns you? They wake up every morning singing. That's why I say, go to bed, cover your head up. God, you got this. And in the morning, it's going to look a lot better, even though it may not have changed. So they wake up, birds wake up every morning singing, it's a brand new day. Today could be the day it changes. I can't change it. But today could be the day that I see the change. Not because I've made it happen, but because I believe that God is faithful. And everything that concerns me, it concerns him. So the first thing is that we begin to doubt how much God loves us and how much he values us. That's number two. Number three, we shouldn't worry because it's a waste of time. You need to value your time and to realize that worrying is wasting your time when you could be worshiping, when you could be praising. It causes us to focus on things that we can't change. I heard it said one time that worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You can sit all day and rock, and you're not going nowhere. That evening you're going to be at the same place. And that's the way worry is. That's the way it distracts you. Matthew 6:27 says, which of you by wearying, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? More literally, Jesus is saying, who of you can add any length to your lifespan by wearying? And it's been documented medical facts that wearying and being anxious will shorten your life instead of lengthening your life. Because so many illnesses that people have, it's due because of anxiety, because of worrying, and wanting to be in control of things that they can't be in control of. So that's why he says, don't worry, stop it. Do not worry, do not be anxious. So he says, who of you can add anything to your lifespan by worrying? So if anything is going to shorten it, I'd add to it. And I was talking about a while ago about going to bed and just letting God handle it. And worry never solves problems. Never, ever solves problems. Problems only magnify themselves in our eyes when we choose to worry about it. Change what you can and what you can't, give it to God. Because there is some responsibility on our part. You know, take the word of God. I thank God for laying on hands, instant deliverances, and all the powerful movement of the Holy Spirit, but there's nothing that's going to change your life like getting into the Word yourself, finding out what that Word says about it, and begin to apply it to your life until you see the manifestation of it. That's how the root of that thing is going to be changed. Quit using this generational thing that it's always been that way, that it's a family thing. When you got born again and saved by the blood of Jesus, that generational curse has been spoken off your life. Quit confessing it. That's hanging over your head. It was broken the moment you said, Jesus, you took on a new bloodline, glory to God. You're not the same anymore, hallelujah. So no more excuses in 2015. Dare to believe God this year that it's going to happen. I can't change what happened yesterday, but I have now, hallelujah. And take that word and begin to apply it to your life every day until you see the manifestation of it. And say, God, this is what your word says. And number four, we shouldn't worry because it makes us forget about the promises of God. So when we begin to worry, like I said before, it takes our focus off of what we know the Word says, and it begins to divide our attention to the problem. Matthew 6:28, why should you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. And even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow, stone of the oven, won't he more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. When situations come into our lives, it's so easy to forget about how much that we have already been blessed. It's so easy to forget about how much we've already been given by God. It's like that straining forth for something new. We're not content. Straining forth for something new. We're not content. And only satisfaction can be found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Having that one-on-one relationship with Him and expressed to all of your other relationships. So Paul says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about any situation. But by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So in that verse, we see that by prayer, it implies approaching God reverently, saying that God, you're God and I'm not. I can't change any of this, but I know with the power of your Holy Spirit that you can. Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, I will cause you to rest. I will ease, relieve, and refresh your souls. When you are weary and worrying about something and you're anxious and you're uptight, it will cause you to labor in your relationship with God because you're wanting to do something to make it happen. You're wanting to do something to make your relationship with God happen. And he says, it's just there. Accept it. So because you begin to worry about things, you begin to think, how it's going to work? Can I make it work? But when you do that, you become overwhelmed. And you become burdened and heavy laden. But he says to us, if you'll shift that which is concerned to you, that which is making you weary and being anxious, I will cause you to rest. And there is a rest for the people of God. It's like that breath that we took. Rest in God. He's got it under control. Number two, and it talks about this prayer thing here. And the number two part of that is by prayer and petition. Petition means to appeal or request your higher authority. You know, it's like sitting with Jesus in front of you and just talking to him. He wants you just to talk to him. And he's just saying, what is exactly that you want from me? Name it. What do you want me to do? The Amplified Bible reads Luke 11 as this. It says, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given you. Seek and keep on seeking. Find, knock, and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be open. It's nothing wrong with bringing that concern to God and saying, this is what it is. Keep on petitioning him for, keep on leaving it with him. And saying, you've got it under control. I know that you can take care of it. What father among you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? The Message Bible reads it this way. Don't bargain with God. You know, don't say, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. If you will help me to quit worrying, I'll do this. And you're never going to do it. Because you're trying to birth something in the flesh. And when something is birthed in the flesh, it has to be maintained by the flesh and it won't last. When you allow God to birth something in the Spirit, it can be maintained by the Spirit and therefore kept by the Spirit of God. So when we pray in a weird and anxious prayers, that is usually how they end up, by trying to bargain with God. You can't bargain with God. His word is already settled. He just calls us to believe what he has already said in his word. And the third thing with prayer, with thanksgiving. Bible says in Psalm 100, chapter 100, verse 4, Amplified, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, bring a thank offering, and come to his courts with praise. Be thankful and say to him, bless and effectually praise his name. Thanksgiving in the Hebrew means grateful. Recall God's goodness. When you begin to worry about something, say, God, you've took care of that situation. I know you're going to take care of this situation. You've took care of that problem. I know you're going to take care of this problem. Always true to His word. Think about all the times, past times, God has released us and freed us from things that we've been anxious in, but yet we came through it. And we look back and we thought, why was I anxious about that? Why? Because the enemy of your soul wants you to be anxious about it, because when he causes you to be anxious and weary and all that, it balloons bigger than what it really is. And then when it's all over, you're saying, you know. So think about all the times that God has released and freed you from being anxious, and but yet he came through because he's faithful. The Bible tells that he gives the beloved sweet sleep. God gives you sweet sleep at night. You don't have to be fretful and stay up all night worrying about things. And so I've heard so many people say, well, God is a concern. I mean, I'm not going to bother with God with that. It's just a small thing. If you don't bother God with the small stuff in your life, it's going to get bigger. But once you feel that tinge of uneasiness and that tinge of anxiousness, give it to God at that moment. Because like I said throughout this message, the more you focus on it, the bigger it seems to get in our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul is saying, tell him, yet let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. We talked about that a while ago, that peace of God transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Peace in the Hebrew means quietness. It means rest, and it means favor. Quietness, rest, and favor. The peace of God, it will guard your heart and mind. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately, about you, and watchfully. Cast, I like this word cast here. It's used to slap a saddle on a horse in the Greek. It's used for a wrestler slamming another one into the mat. It's used to talk about a vine being wrapped around a tree. And it literally means to slap your worries onto God. In other words, let it go. Because He cares for you. We know Psalm 37 is the fret not chapter. It says, fret not yourself, trust in the Lord and do good. Fret not yourself, commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him and He will act. Fret not yourself, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I read about a research done through the University of Cincinnati that 85% of what we worry about never happens. 85% of those things that keep people up at night, those things that give people ulcers, those things that cause people to drink and overeat and everything else you do when you're weary, never happens. 85%. More, the study found that 79% of us handle the 15% that does happen in ways that surprise us with our ability to turn the situation around. And we as Christians know that because it's the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, trusting God day in and day out. The Bible says, the Message Bible somewhere in the epistle says something about take your life, your ordinary life, your everyday running around life, and give it to God. And that's what, it's like Pastor Laverne was saying some things in the opening. Give to Him. Just live your life. Prepare your heart like I know God can come any day, but live your life like you're going to be here till you're 200. Amen. So it says it happens in ways that surprise us with our ability, the ability of the Holy Spirit to turn things around because we trust in God. The things you can change, change as the Holy Spirit directs you. As the things you cannot change, let it go. Let it go. Slam it on God. He wants you to slam it on Him because He's got big shoulders. And I found out He can take a lot. Amen. So we know it's the ability of the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Trusting God to turn it around for our good. Knowing that we cannot make anything happen, but coming into agreement with the covenant of God that's ours. Coming into agreement with the covenant of God that's ours. We're getting ready to come into a new year according to our time standard. We know God doesn't operate on time except for our good, except for us, because of where we live. So as we go into this year, don't think it is the ending of this year, but just think of next year as this could be the year. I worried about some things last year, and I have no control over it. And if it's affected your health, God can restore that as you continually give it to Him. So I want you to stand with me this morning, and we're going to pray, and we're going to slam some stuff onto God. We're going to let Him take it. Amen. So I want you to stand with me this morning. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just reflect back on this year at some things that have wearied you and caused you to be anxious and caused you to be uneasy and has caused you to stay up at night and fret. Think about those things for just a moment. Then I just want you to see yourself put them in your hands, put all of it in your hands, and just say, God, I'm slamming these things onto You. They're Yours. You're big enough to handle it. We've carried it long enough. You take care of it. I roll it onto You, Jesus, today. There's things that I cannot change and the things that we can change, Lord, by the leading of Your Holy Spirit, that You would lead us. Teach us what we need to do, Father God, concerning everything in our lives, because we know that it concerns You. And Father, we're thankful for Your presence in our lives and to know that we're not alone. In anything that we go to, You have promised, God, to always be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us. Father God, Your word says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. You have redeemed us, according to Joshua 1:9. You have reminded us in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid nor be dismayed? For You have promised us, Lord, You would go with us wherever we go. You have promised us peace, according to Isaiah 26. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon You, because we trust in You. Trust in the Lord forever. In You, the Lord is everlasting strength. Your word tells us in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we choose to let our requests be known to You, God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You tell us in Matthew 6 to seek and aim at and strive after, first of all, Your kingdom and Your righteousness, which is Your way of doing things. And then all these things will be added to us. You tell us not to worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of their own, but we have today. Yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not yet come, but we have today. We have now. Thank You, Father God, for taking care of us and all that concerns us. And Father God, I speak a blessing over these people in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father God, that this is the season that they're stepping into the new, and we dare to believe. You ask us, Lord, what is it that we dare to believe You for? What do we dare to believe You for? I thank You, Father God, that this is our season, Lord, that You, because we've spent time worshiping You, You're going to strengthen us. Thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit bringing change in our lives. And we let go of those that which we cannot change. And we thank You for changing that, God, and turning things around for us for Your glory. Open our mouths wide, Lord, and You said You would fill it. Open our mouths wide, Lord, and You said You would fill it. And Lord God, I speak a blessing over these people right now in the name of Jesus, that every need they have is met, that they are blessed to be a blessing. And Father, we just yield ourselves to You by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You are the God of more than enough. And the church said, amen. 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 Have a prosperous, blessed day.